Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Hallelujah. So it's receiving time. We had observed through time that God has done everything for us.
Yes, sir.
The Bible said in the book of Hebrews 4 that we should enter into a rest that's already prepared for us.
Yes, sir.
From verse 10. Hebrews 4 from verse 10. Okay, maybe we'll read from verse 9. It says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." Oh, a rest for the people of God. And the NKJV, give me the NKJV, so that it is much clearer. "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God." Are you God's child?
Yes, sir.
And the Bible says there's a rest for you. Next part of scripture, verse 10, it says, "For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, and God did from his." Of course, you know God did from his in Genesis 2:2. The Bible says, "And by the seventh day God had finished the work He had been doing, so on that day, he rested from all of his works." Why did he rest? Not because he was tired, but because he had finished from what? All of his works. That doesn't mean that you can't be tired, all right? You know, God related so much with humanity while he was on the earth as Jesus, because Jesus is God, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Remember, he was sleeping in the boat. Right?
Yes, sir.
Are you all in church this morning?
Yes, sir.
He was sleeping. Alright, he rested from the seventh day, not because he was tired. Right? But because he was done. I like the way the Bible says it in Genesis 2:2. He says, I don't know what version, okay. Okay, my version says, "And by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on that day, he rested from all of his works." So he rested because he was done. And I'm trying to say, that doesn't mean God does not rest. Alright? Because if he said, "You are created in my image and likeness," he will have to, you know, prove to you that some of the things that is happening to you are not a proof of weakness. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So Jesus was sleeping in a very delicate situation, very, you know, severe situation. There was storm, raging sea, you know, and Jesus was sleeping. Who sleeps in that kind of moment? But Jesus was very tired. I had a joke from Pastor Benny Hinn, one of our fathers of faith. He said he was traveling in a plane, and he had this dear friend who was sleeping. I think he was even snoring, Zef. He was deep in sleep while people were shouting. And Pastor Benny Hinn said even him too, he was, you know, it was quite tense. He will go to the pilot and ask if everything now is okay. After he prays, we'll go and watch. And his friend was just sleeping. And he was seriously sleeping. Then he now touched him when everything was calm. I said, "Are you okay? Are you very okay?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Didn't you notice that people were shouting Jesus and were concerned because the plane was seeming like it would crash?" He said, "Oh, Benny, Jesus slept while there was a regency. Why would I not sleep?" And he said the friend had always been a very funny person, but that day, even though the friend was funny, he learned something that day. Hallelujah to Jesus. Jesus slept. So what am I trying to say? That Jesus slept, and it was not an indication that he was weak. That sometimes you need to sleep. Say amen.
Amen.
I know that's the best part of the sermon for some of us who were born with the spirit of sleep. That's the best part of the sermon. But if the sleeping affects your prayer, it's from the demonic world. Yes. Yes. You know those times you want to pray by 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. and your alarm will ring. And you just press your phone and hold it till it shuts down. That's not from God. The time you are supposed to be reading, you heard there's test and you still say, let me go 1 hour more. That's not from God. Or there's an exam, you want to go 1 hour more. That sleep is not from God. That sleep is sent to you. It's a weapon fashioned against you. Alright, so sleep is not a sign of weakness, but severe sleep. Severe sleep. In fact, some people say my hobby is sleeping. That's terrible. Nobody's hobby should be sleeping. Alright? The Bible says a little sleep and poverty will finish you. When you are not supposed to be sleeping, if you are sleeping, poverty will finish you. Alright, so let's go back to what we're saying. Jesus finished and rested because he had finished walking. Are we together? He had finished what? Walking. It is important that you rest, okay? But don't rest like you have finished walking when you have not finished walking. You can rest. I'm saying that if you are walking 24 hours, it's not God's will. Alright? You can walk, rest, continue the walk. But there's a particular kind of sleep you sleep. I don't know if people know that kind of sleep. When you are finished walking. How many of you know that kind of sleep? When exams are finished, there's a way you sleep. Now that doesn't mean that you were not sleeping before. Sleeping during the exams. Who will not sleep during the exam? But that kind of sleep, you know, it's not the holistic kind of sleep. It's not that kind of sleep that you really need to sleep. But when you finish your exam, that morning, you wake up like 12 noon. That's a proof that you have finished walking. All right, so go back to where we were in the book of Hebrews 4. From verse 9, the Bible said, There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. 10 says, for whoever enters God's rest also rests from his own work. His own work, just as God did from his. Are we together? Let me read the rendition here. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Are we together?
Yes.
Next part of scripture. It says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following the same pattern of disobedience. Let me read this one. It says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Now, that means the part of scripture here was talking about something before we got here. Which pattern of disobedience? The children of Israel. Because of time, we will not really read everything. Are we together? The children of Israel were God's people. Are we together? They were God's people like we are God's people. They had followed God from Egypt to the enroll to the promised land. They were in the wilderness yet on their path to the promised land. But at some point, they lost faith in God because of the severe situation, the pressure. They lost faith in God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Even though there was a rest prepared for them, what was that rest? The promised land. Are we together? There was a rest prepared for them already. All right, God had finished preparing something wonderful for them, and he said, let's get there. But on their journey to that place, there was some kind of situation that suggested as if God did not care about them. And I'm sure as I'm saying this, some people can relate, because while you first heard the gospel, we told you that Jesus has paid for everything that you will ever get. Are we together? That he has paid for everything. Hallelujah to Jesus. Like we are just reading now that there's a rest prepared for you. There's a rest prepared for you. Let's call it the promised land. But right now, on your path to this promised land, some things happening around you may not even suggest that Jesus has really done anything for you. Or he even cares about you. Am I saying the right thing?
Yes, sir.
It is not because he doesn't care, but because he's preparing you. Of course, you have heard this several times from several people. He's preparing you for the rest. Are we together? And just like the children of Israel, some people are not patient enough to follow this
parts of preparation. Go through this season of preparation. Are we together? They are not patient enough to allow God work on them. And so they complain at some point. We read in the book of, Galatians 6, the Bible says, it said, do not weary, right? Do not weary about good doings or well doing. Do not be weary about what? In well doing. Yes, that's why you are helpmate. Do not be weary in, what did you say? Huh? Okay, do not be weary. That's what I said too. Do not be weary about good doing. It said, for in due time, you will receive the reward. Do not be weary. Meaning if you get weary, you will not receive the reward. Say amen.
Amen.
Do not be weary. Don't get angry at some point and say, I've had enough. You know, some people have mind. They told God, I've had enough. And sometimes it's not God you are telling directly. It is God's system on the earth that is fashioned to make you the kind of man that can be really, you know, functional in the rest that has been prepared for you in the promised land. You know, it's not everybody that should be in the promised land. Imagine the children of Israel when they created for themselves another God and were worshipping it. Those people were going to the promised land, and on their path to the promised land, they created another God and were worshipping. Now imagine they entered the promised land before God realized that they had the potency on their inside to worship another God. What will happen? It'll be more like a disaster in the promised land. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So that thing was already in them, but pressure brought it out. A tough situation, a tough season in their life brought it out. We have seen people who thought they were humble, who thought they were nice, they can follow God through any season, and something comes upon them. Maybe they can call it big thing, call the thing a big thing or a small thing. But I, as a pastor, and by the level, at the level of God's word that is in my spirit, I always call it light and small. Paul says our light affliction. It may look severe, but Paul calls it what? Light affliction. It comes for a season. In fact, what some people call severe situation is that somebody offended them in church. Yes. 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 Some, again, severe is that they didn't have food in their house. And you ask them, did you have gari? They said yes. And you are wondering. You know, as I'm saying this, and somebody is wondering, him, is he, has he gone, has he lived like that before? No, you don't want to know. This is not time for stories. I asked somebody one time, do you have gari? He said yes. I said, and you are complaining that there's no food. I said, can you buy sugar? He said yes. I said, dear Jesus, God has blessed you. Now, we're not saying you're going to eat gari all your life. I'm not eating gari all my life. Many years ago, one of my sons in the faith came to my house, and he came to enjoy. Because, you know, I had one standard. My standard is that I always live in a good place. So no matter what, I like to live in a good place where I will not have to go and fetch water. I'll have everything because, you know, as a pastor, I don't want to be seen coming out with my singlet every time to fetch water and the rest. I just want to be indoors, church home. And he came to this fine place I was staying, and he wanted to have the best season of his life. So in the morning, he wanted to cook. I said, go ahead and cook. So he went to the kitchen. And he came by and said, sir, I can't find what to cook. I said, you mean you cannot see anything in that kitchen to cook? He said, yes, sir. I wanted to make something for us, but I did not see anything. I said, okay. Go to the kitchen. Look very well. There's something to cook. He entered. I said, you did not see anything. He said, no. I said, did you see yam? He said, yes. I said, but you said you didn't see anything. He said, sir, the yam is growing another leaf on you. They are just old yam. I said, carry that yam. Cut it. I said, did you see oil? He said, yes. How about onions? He said, yes. I said, beautiful. Cut the yam. If you want to peel the back, fine. If you don't have time, just cut it like that. Put it in the pot. All you need is water. And if you care more, just add a little salt. I said, then when it gets boiled, carry that small black squeeze pot. Put it on the fire. Pour oil in it. Cut the onions anyhow you feel like cutting the onions. Put a little salt, and brother, we have breakfast. Hallelujah. How many of you have tasted that recipe before? Oh my God. That's one of the most beautiful things God ever did on the earth. And now he did it in agony, but I remember one time he was telling me, he said, I learned that thing the first time in your house. Him too, he had some season where he had to do what I did, and it became his best. Till he left BSU. Hallelujah to Jesus. And what he was telling, he went out, I was telling my other boys that, prophet, in his mind, prophet was suffering, but prophet lives in a good house. And I told him, I'm not suffering. I'm enjoying the glory of God. And I told him, if you look at me, does it suggest that I'm suffering? He said, no clue, sir. Your blazers, your this, the way you look fresh every time. I said, yes. And what is getting that done is God's grace coupled with what you ate that day. And I'm still eating it. Paul said, I've learned to enjoy in seasons of plenty and seasons of small. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, I've learned to endure. Now, because you're in a season of small does not mean your God is not big. Or does not mean you don't have something big in store for you. Are you listening to me tonight? Some people bother God with so many things that are unnecessary. It's not like you will not enter. One thing is certain. You must end up in the plenty. Get what I said? End up in the plenty. The Bible said, though your beginning may be small, it says your later end will what? Greatly increase. So one thing is a law. You must end up in the plenty. Say, I must end up in the plenty. Like God is saying, there's a rest already prepared for the children of God. Yes, it's already prepared. But on your path to that rest, don't have wrong characters that will disqualify you. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
the children of Israel thought that they were humble, they were nice, until they were in a situation. And they said, create for us another God. Create for us another God. And of course, the weak leader, Aaron, he was weak at that point. He succumbed to the pressure of the people and he created for them what they wanted. That's what weak leaders do. They give the people what they want. Strong leaders don't give the people what they want. They insist on what the people need. They force the people to enter into what they need. Many years ago, as a student, the Lord spoke to me while I was going for one of our services on a Saturday afternoon. He said, son, give my people what they need at all costs, not what they want. So from that time, I began to teach the word of God. I didn't care how anybody will feel. I didn't care how people... You know, sometimes you teach the word of God and people are not excited because you are crushing their doctrine, you are crushing their beliefs and their culture and tradition, isn't it? And they get offended. Just like Jesus, when he entered into the world, the Bible says he came to his own. He came to the church, his own, and the church, what? Refused him. They rejected him. Hallelujah to Jesus. Sometimes even family members reject you because of beliefs, because of doctrine. Hallelujah to Jesus. I remember when I started teaching the word, the first resistance were my parents, because they were from a certain denomination, and I'm right now teaching God's word. Not because I'm from, you know, some people think that it is denomination against denomination. No. If you observe me, what denomination is Glory Carriers? If you observe, I've never told you our category. We are not Protestant. We are not protesting for anything. I am not Protestant. Are you listening to me? Yes. That's why I've never put our church in that category. We are not protesting for anything. What are we protesting for? And who are we protesting to? We're a church. Are you listening to me? And sometimes God's word, you see, when you preach it so much, it makes people to have sincere hatred for you. Like Jesus. He said, I came to the church, my own, and the church, what? Rejected me. If they could do that to our Savior, it can be done to anybody. And this is the number one reason why people don't enter into their rest. Wrong beliefs, wrong doctrines. The Bible says, if a man desires mastery, yet that man is not crowned, it is because that man did not what? Strive for that mastery. How? Lawfully. As simple as electricity is, we're sitting now, we're excited. If you join the wires wrongly, they look simple, the wires. Join them wrongly, your hair may burn. Am I saying the right thing? How many of you have had electricity shock you before? What you are not supposed to join, you went and joined. Then you pry, and you are like in a new day. The wires look so simple, but the way you join them costs you trouble. That's how it is in the realm of the spirit. The way ABCD looks so plenty, if you want to spell bed, anybody here spell bed?
Aha. Spare bed. Some people, when they just say spare, they will just wonder, do I really know it? You know it. Spare bed. Want to go? I had B-E. Okay. Sorry. Spare bed. Sorry. My God, they caught me. Me? Wow. All right, spare bird. Even as I said, Idoma people still know that it was bird. I mean, Idoma people knew that. Hallelujah to Jesus. B-I-R-D, right? Now, if I say B-I-B-R-I-D, what's that? Huh? Breed. You see that? Now, is it wrong? I just changed the I and R. It's not really a major error. But is it wrong? And that could mean another thing, isn't it? That's how it is. Is it? The doctrine does not matter in Christianity. It matters, people of God. Because the Bible says, as a man, what? Thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can't mix law and grace. Just like the allegory of used in scripture, Hagar. Is it Hagar? Yes. And Abraham's wife, Sarah, isn't it? Hagar? She gave birth to who? Ishmael. And Sarah gave birth to who? Who is the son of the promise, isn't it? Now, even though Ishmael came first, it didn't matter to God. It had to be removed. Just like the law came first, but it doesn't matter. It has to be removed and be sent away. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Hallelujah to Jesus. But grace remains. What Jesus has done is more important than what we did with our own ability. You cannot achieve what Jesus has said in scripture as your nature from human strength. You can't. If you try to do that, you will fail a lot of times. See, release yourself from stress. Release yourself from any form of stress. On your own, you can do nothing. John 15. You can't do nothing on your own. You can't live for God on your own. You are not too strong with your human nature and capacity to live for God. You can't. The Bible said in the book of James that it is God that can keep you from what? Falling. Not your own human ability. The best of us will fail God. As human beings. The best of us will still fail God. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said is that the righteousness of a man is like a what? Filthy rag. That righteousness does not have capacity to please God. Are you all listening to me? It does not have. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's why some people have given up on church. Please listen to me with an open heart. There are a lot of people who have given up on church because they went to church expecting to live above sin and they cannot. The things they don't want to do, they find themselves doing it. Paul told us the pattern in scripture. He said from verse 1 of Romans 7, he said, I speak to them that are trying to live by the law. Because he, Paul, had tried to live by the law. Meaning, you know, let's substitute the law here for what? Wrong beliefs, wrong doctrines. Are you listening to me? Wrong beliefs and wrong doctrines. Carry your child. Amen. Wrong beliefs and wrong doctrines. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a holy distraction. Holy. Go home. Get out now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, substitute the law, like I said, for what? Wrong beliefs and what? Wrong ideologies. Are you in church this morning?
Yes, sir.
Now, see what the Bible said in Ephesians. Is it Ephesians? Pastor Peter always used to remind me. It said, Christ is the end of the law. What scripture is that? You are not the one then. Who used to remind me? Galatians. What? Galatians? No, it's the one of Galatians. It's not the one of Romans is alive in my spirit. Galatians 4 what? Media too are supposed to know this thing that says Christ is the end of the law. I want us to read it together. I'm getting old. That's why I'm forgetting some of these scriptures. In those days I was like you. I always have these scriptures in my head. It's unfortunate that these young people don't remember scriptures. All of you don't know the scriptures? Galatians what? Unbelievable. And you are singing for God. What a shame. For Christ is the end of the law. For righteousness to everyone who believes. There's another one in Galatians that I wanted to see. But is that for Christ? Are you here in church?
Yes, sir.
No, some of you don't look interested.
For Christ is the end of the law. Meaning Jesus' coming is the end of all Judaistic practices.
Yes,
mention a few of them. Getting into water and coming out as a new creation. It's not necessary now that Jesus is here. Now, if anybody be... It's a what? The getting into water was pointing to who? Jesus. The lamb that the sins of the world comes upon, the sins of all Israel comes upon and they kill. The lamb had no capacity to save anybody or cover anybody's sin. God was teaching them about the coming of Jesus. Now, when John saw Jesus, he said, behold what? That takes away what? The sins of the world. Now that Jesus has come, we don't need to kill a lamb. Now that Jesus has come, we don't need to use any object like oil that represents, substitute the Holy Spirit. Now that Jesus has come and the Holy Spirit has been poured upon all flesh, nobody needs to use any oil. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very, very basic understanding. Now, as I'm saying, the son of the bondwoman will still be fighting the children of grace. As we're talking now, one of the greatest battles in the body of Christ is that people who think these things are wrong are fighting us. They will argue with us and tell us, it's a lie. We have to use oil. We have to use this. As long as we are doing these things, we will never see the promise of the New Testament. We will never see it. He said, I will not pour new wine in what? Old wineskin. We will never see it. Because we have old wineskin, but we are looking for the new wine. It's not possible. You should not at any cost use oil in the New Testament. Because it's not necessary. You should not at any cost use water in the New Testament. Because it's not what? Necessary. You should not. You know, one time I was listening to a pastor. He said next week it's going to be so-so service. And all of you should bring, the Holy Spirit said you should bring a bottle of oil and an handkerchief. I used to think so too. I used to think so. But I realized that I was only working, you know, I was hearing the Spirit because I wanted the Spirit to say that thing. If, for instance, all you knew was deliverance as you were growing up, deliverance ministries, the Lord will call you into a deliverance ministry. Most people who grew in deliverance ministry, they see some of us as troublesome people. They are wondering why we're saying the things we're saying. For instance, I don't believe in every Sunday laying hands on a particular lady or a guy and removing a certain demon every time. If the word of God is being taught to that person very diligently, that person will not be inflicted by any demon again.
Yes,
Jesus said the best they do, deliverance ministers, is that they remove a demon from somebody and they leave the vessel only empty.
Yes,
are you all listening to me tonight?
Yes,
what does that mean? I removed something from somebody, but I did not fill that vessel with another thing. I just left the vessel empty. He said the demon will invite how many? And they will make sure there's a perfect destruction in that vessel, because 7 is a number of perfection. Hallelujah to Jesus. So turning it upside down is perfect destruction. So that the next time you want to deliver that person, it becomes very hard. Have you heard people that say that this thing you are doing, I've done it before? You know, what are you wasting your time? This Christianity you are doing, we did it when we were in secondary school. Because what they saw as the gospel was something to just remove something from them. They didn't understand the gospel in its world. You know, the Bible says in the book of Acts, was it Paul that said, he said, I did not withhold sharing with you the whole counsel of God. If you teach the word of God in bits, it is dangerous. Just like I heard somebody say, please listen to me. The person said the body of Christ is like a market. Everybody goes and they buy the particular thing they want to buy. Alright? But in totality, they are in a market. He said that's how different churches are. You come to this church, they teach you prosperity. You go to that church, they teach you deliverance. And it's dangerous. You can't perfect people. Did Jesus tell us to perfect the saints? In Ephesians 4, he said we should perfect the saints. Now, how can I perfect the saints with one part of the syllabus? Is it possible? You can't be a doctor just learning anatomy. Is it possible? So that claim is wrong. You have to think. You all have brains. Say, I have a brain. So you have to think. And you're all filled with the Holy Spirit. So God will not hold anybody accountable for your own foolishness. Are you all listening to me? He will not hold anybody accountable for your own foolishness. And sometimes we need a little bit of stubbornness, holy stubbornness, to enter into this finished work of Jesus. Now, let me explain what I'm trying to say. How many of you have watched that movie, The Boy That Harnessed the Wind? Anybody here? Huh? How many of you have watched Second Chance? Don't pretend. If you have watched Second Chance, wave your hand. If you have watched Love Don't Cost a Thing, you see, they are just pretending. All of you have watched the second ones I called. Which is a new movie that you are sure everybody has watched? Huh? How many of you have watched Achalugo? I know many of us have watched. Now I say The Boy Who Announced the Wind. I'm sure when you are checking your Netflix and you see that one, you'll be like, which kind of stupid movie is this one? Let's go for more important movies. At a point, I love the movie at one point. You see, the young man told his father he wants to create something because the whole village were in despair. They were suffering. People were dying out of hunger. The government didn't care. I mean, it's Africa. You know what I'm trying to say. The government even came for campaign and told them to say a lie. When the chief dared to say the truth, they beat up the chief and he finally died. Hallelujah to Jesus. So they were suffering. They were in poverty. Amen. You know, in Africa, you say what they want you to say as a politician. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like the season of our life now in our state, we see what is happening. They say it's not genocide. Hallelujah to Jesus. Even though it's genocide. And you see, the worst set of people are those supporting foolishness. I mean, nothing is more rotten than you in the realm of the spirit. And in this world, when you see somebody's doing a wrong thing and you support it. Some people don't know that criticism is part of any, if any leader must become his best, we must criticize. Yes, sir. I hope you people know they criticize Trump. Yes, sir. Huh? Yes, sir. I saw Trump standing yesterday with this man, was it Chicago or where? This guy that is a Muslim that won an election. What is the name of the state? Yes. He stood with Trump yesterday and they asked him a question. The interviewer was very wicked. She said, you had called Trump some names and insulted him. Now that you are standing before him, can you explain to us why you did that? Now, he began to stammer. He wanted to, Trump just say, yes, you did it. Don't worry, I will not be angry. In Nigeria, you will not even have the opportunity to stand. He just hit the guy and said, just say yes, don't worry. You don't need to explain, I understand. In Nigeria. you can't even try that. Now, that's how they think there. You know, you can criticize somebody's opinion. Yes, sir. But here, I'm so surprised how people think that their own ambition is bigger than any other thing. It's cowardice, it's foolishness, it's death. That people are dying, but your ambition to become a governor again is more important than the death. And you see, whatever was saying like that is not the worst. The worst of it is some of you who think it's okay that you are still shouting, yes, mother. Sorry. Yes, father. You better wake up. Now, me, I'm not shouting, yes, mother, but I'm criticizing. And let me tell you, anybody that is coming and saying he will do better, I am still suspecting them. Don't think I'm just hating on anybody. I heard another one in that party saying he will do better. Which better? Which better? People should just pray. Where were we? I hate to talk about politics. Where were we? Holy stubbornness. That young man told his father, I can make blah, 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 blah to make sure that there's water for us and our plants will grow. He said, but the only condition is this. The only condition is this. He said, I need your bicycle. He said, for what? I want to scatter the bicycle and use it to make that instrument. The father said, you must be mad. My only bicycle that I used to go to different villages and come back, I used to provide food. He said, my friend, get out. Throw away that your ambition. Carry hoe and hit the ground. Let's try to grow something. The young man said, daddy, in fact, he came with two boys to come and confront the father to give him the bicycle. When the boys came, the father carried on that. He said, you people should come. They ran away and left him with his father. But the mom came in, she said, well, let's give the young man a try. And when they gave him a try, he finally did it. It's a true life story. Got a scholarship to study outside, became one of the best, you know, scientists in Africa. Today is one of the best scientists in Africa. Hallelujah to Jesus. There was a solution for them, and he picked it. It has never been seen. They don't know anything about sciences. I remember one part of the movie, he would go, the father could not pay the school fees, he would go and hide himself in the library to read about dynamo. He said he would also want to be in the class because, of course, they will not allow him. But let them just permit him to be going to the library. And he was reading about Dynamo and trying to look for a solution, blah, 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 blah. Finally, he did it. So what we are saying is not a popular opinion. For instance, I say, don't use anointing oil. Some people will be like, oh, something that they burned me and I've been using it and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. You know, I found out that Jesus spoke to me in my heart. I think, was it last week? He said the greatest threat to the new wine is not the Gentiles. He said it is those in Christianity with a wrong perspective of Christianity. They were the greatest threat to Jesus in his days. The greatest opposition, I mean, to Jesus in his days. Satan is fighting one thing. Many people don't know. They think Satan is just fighting people to enter into sin. No, 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 no. Satan is fighting so that we don't realize this new wine and enter into it. It's not about the sin yet. There's something that can completely cross sin upon the face of the earth. From the face of the earth. What's that? Now he said in Romans 8 and 3, he said what the law could not do in that it was weak because of the flesh. Jesus what? He did it. What did he do? He defeated sin, even sin in the flesh. What Jesus? Now the prescription here is Jesus. Meaning if we really understand Jesus, sin cannot have any hold over any individual seated in this place. But if you wrongly understand Jesus, you know, you have hope deferred, and it will make the heart what? Sick. You had Jesus and you felt like now Jesus should defeat sin, and he didn't defeat the sin. It simply means the description of Jesus you had in your heart was wrong. That's what Satan wants. Jesus said, if the light in you be darkness, he said, what? How great is that darkness? And when somebody comes, rises up with that supposed light, there seems to be chaos. What Satan is trying to do to us today is to make sure that people hold on to what did not work. What the law could not do, in that it was weak because of the flesh. Now people are still holding up to the law. The law could not deliver people, and they are still holding us. Satan is making sure that they prefer the law than grace. Are you seeing this right now? So it is not possible to live above sin with the law, but Satan is making people prefer the law. He wants them to hold on to those old beliefs and traditions. And that's why Paul, at a point of his ministry, he said, dear beloved, we have to pray for a certain people. And when he mentioned the name of the people, people were shocked. Even today, when we say it, some of you will be shocked. Romans 10 and 1. Let's read together in the NKJV. Everyone want to read. Brethren, my what? And what? Is that they may be what? Can you believe it? That Paul is praying for Israel to be saved? Were Israel not saved in the days of Paul? He is praying for Israel to be saved. Why? All they had were Judaistic practices. They will do this, they will carry this, they will look like they are in heaven, but Paul said they are not saved. They are not saved. Why? Christ is in verse 4 here, he now taught us that Christ is the end of the law. Meaning when Christ came, they still held on to the law. Christ came and said, okay, now let's stop killing lambs. They still kept on killing lambs. Christ came and he said, okay, if anybody be in me is a new creation, stop getting into water. They still kept on putting people in the water. And Paul said, we need to pray for them. They are not saved. They have not received the way of Jesus. Because he's the way, the what? The truth. And what? You can't claim that you are for Jesus without receiving his way. He is way. When you come to Jesus, you leave your past and you follow this new way of doing things. If you want to stop sin, don't focus on the sin yet. There's a way to follow for sin not to find expression in your life. There's a way. And Apostle Peter, he explained that to us in a very beautiful way in 2 Peter. This is what he said. He said, via the knowledge of his... Now, firstly, he had told us that we have received everything for what? Life and godliness. According to the riches of everything he did for us on Calvary. Then he said to us in the next verse, he said, by the understanding of these promises... Meaning when you understand what Jesus has done for you, he said, by the understanding of these promises, that through these promises, we become what? We get to become what? Partakers of his divine nature. When we understand what Jesus has done, what happens to us? We become what? Partakers of his divine nature. Then, what happens to us? On the strength of that, we escape the corruption that is in the world through us. You see, the nature of Jesus automatically gets you to escape the corruption in the world through us. Meaning if you have his nature, you have escaped. Did you see that now? You don't try to escape without his nature. You have his nature to escape. Are you listening to me? The problem is that religion is making sure that people stop sin without the way, you know, without the prescription for why sin can be stopped. They just tell people stop sin. It's not good. If you stop sin, you will miss the rapture. If you don't stop sin, you miss the rapture. If you don't stop sin, you will get to hell. You know, that's true. You will not, you know, I don't believe in rapture, but I believe, yes, I don't, but I believe in somebody going to hell if they don't stop sin. And someone told me, he said, Pastor, you don't believe in rapture? What the heck is that? You don't? I've never seen it in any part of the Bible. And so I don't believe in it. But do you believe in the second coming? Yes, I do. I believe in the second coming. Do you know how it will happen? I don't know. Why do I need to know? But I know that there will be some certain kind of manifestation. In the twinkle of an eye, something will happen, and whatever should happen. Yes, are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, sir. And that's not, some of you should not be worrying yourself. You've not finished taking care of yourself. The basic knowledge of God's word has not become manifest in your life. Your problem is, Pastor, explain to us the set of procedures that will happen at the second coming. What is the first thing that will happen? How dare you ask me such a question? Did the Bible tell you? So how do you want me to see it? See only what the Bible is saying. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So you don't believe in the rapture? Yes, I don't believe in it. I believe it's a junk belief, a junk mentality. Because in the Bible, what I saw as a rapture, if it truly is supposed to happen, then it'll be good to miss it. The Bible said that just as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Is it two? This is a rapture scripture. Number one rapture scripture. Just like it were in the days, Matthew 24, of Noah, so shall it be in the what? The coming of the Son of Man. Is it people were eating, drinking, and getting married and being forced to marry, and suddenly what happened? Huh? Destruction came and what? Took them away. What came and took the people away? Now comparing, just like the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Then I said, two will be in the field, two will be in the ground anymore, blah 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 blah. One will be taken, one will what? One will be taken, one will what? That's a rapture doctrine. That's where they acted the left behind from. Now, according to that part of scripture, which people were taken away from the earth? Now, question, was it the righteous people that were taken from the earth, or the unrighteous people? According to that part of scripture, which people left the earth? Was it Noah and the family that left the earth, or the people that did not enter the ark? And guess what the Bible said? The Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. What was Noah? How did Noah preach righteousness? He said, get into the ark. It doesn't matter what you have done. As long as you are in the ark, you are safe. Now, if anybody be in, is a what? New creation. As long as we're in Christ, we will remain.
Yes, sir.
Those not in Christ, destruction. Not Jesus took them. What took them? The flood. Destruction. What? Take them away. Now, it's a good place to be. That's why Paul says something. He says, some of us that will be caught up and remain. Remain. That's why he said in the book of Thessalonians. And that's why I don't believe in it. Alright? And that's why, it doesn't matter the prophetic vision you have. If you like, think the rapture will happen tomorrow, as long as it's not written in the word of God. You don't make anybody scared. Many of you here, you don't want to just come to terms with reality. Some of you here, you have heard prophecy of raptures from 2000. 2000 people sold their things. It went to 213. I remember my role model, Prophet Kubus, did a service on the day after the rapture. He said, we're going to have a service a day after the rapture, when he prophesied the rapture happening on a particular day. He said, the next day we're going to have a rapture, a surviving rapture service. Now, when he got into the service, I was watching it live. He said, I want to give God praise for some of us that survived the rapture. Glory to God. Now, people prophesied. Some people said during COVID-19 it was going to happen. Remember, there was a pastor that said so not so long. He's in hiding right now. The people went and climbed a mountain waiting. Nothing happened. You can't force God to do what he did not say he will do. The scripture is a more sure word of what? Prophecy. And as I'm talking, I know I'm hurting some of you who believe in rapture. But go and tell God to show you when rapture will happen. Let me prove to you that you are in a wrong realm. When you tell God to show you, write it down. When the day come and it doesn't happen, come to me. I will explain the rapture to you. How that it came from the pit of hell. If you have mind, go and write the day to happen. It doesn't, it will not happen. But will the second coming happen? Yes. What will be the set of activities? I don't know. But I know in the twinkle of an eye, pew, something will happen. Pew, something will happen. Pew, some, are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Are you shocked? Because some of you believe that we're seated here now, some of you will rise up, your cloth will fall. What a junk mentality. What a useless mentality. Who are you leaving the cloth for? And that as you are driving somebody, you just leave your car to be going to kill. God does not need to kill anybody to take his people away. Useless mentality not found in scripture. Let's go further to explain some, to just highlight some of this stupid mentality about eschatology. That there will be a time on the earth where you will pay for your sin with your blood. How many of you have heard that before? There's a time on the earth. How? That you will cry to heaven, you want to kill yourself, you will not even die. Some of you never read it in the Bible. You were told. And you grew with it. And as I'm talking, you are wondering why I'm negating it. It was never in the Bible. If the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse your sin, your blood, where will it start from? Somebody say amen. Get excited. Jesus has paid the price for you. And the Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. That's why I say it doesn't matter whatever you have done. If anybody be in Christ, the word, new creation. And you become part of the kingdom. What we are doing every day is to fortify you in this kingdom. As we are teaching, you are getting perfected in this kingdom. You are getting strong. Firstly, you have been called to be part of this kingdom. Just like our child today, we are celebrating 1 year of Shekinah. We gave birth to her many years ago. Sorry, I said many years ago. So many months ago. Alright? Many days ago. And we began to groom her. She can't preach today. She can't sing today. She can't do nothing today. But that it's in her DNA. It's her, in her nature. As we keep on grooming her, one day she'll begin to teach the word of God so sound. You see that? She's a mighty preacher by default. It's in her. That she's doing tata now does not mean she cannot preach the word of God. But as we keep on grooming her, she'll begin to preach. But at this point now, is she part of the family? Yes, she is. That you cannot live right now does not mean you are not part of the family. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? But what do we need to do? We keep on fortifying you till you are capacitated to live for God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Tell somebody you are part of God's family. And that's why the Bible said we are accepted in the beloved. Ephesians 1:6, Ephesians 1:3, he said you have been blessed and qualified in Christ to receive all spiritual and physical blessing. You see that? You see that? In Romans 8:32, he says that if your earthly fathers who are wicked in their nature could give you bread and not stone when you ask for bread, he said, will I, God speaking through Jesus, he said, will I not freely through Jesus give you all things? Meaning he wants you to have all things, but not this version of you. The person in Christ is who he wants to have all things. Because look at it. He said, in Christ you are qualified for all blessings. As long as he's seen Christ, you are qualified. You are like Christ, you are qualified. You are like Christ, you are accepted. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And if you are like Christ, you have certain characteristics. You have boldness to receive. You saw my child coming to me, and nobody can stand up and say they are coming to play with me during service. But my child was coming to play with me during service. And I said they should take her away. You see that holy confidence. The Bible says, I have not received the spirit of fear again. But the spirit of what? Sound mind. What? Power. And what? He's our father. And we're always ready to receive. There's a certain attitude we have right now. We're not scared. We know God has given us everything for what? And what? I was listening to Andrew Womack before I closed one time. He said there was a certain woman that he went to pray for, and she said God gave her the sickness. So that I point out one case. God does not give anybody sickness. Hey, look at me, all of you. God is not the reason why you are broke right now.
Yes, sir. He's not.
You are the reason why you don't have money right now. Yes. The earlier you understand this, the better for you.
Yes,
if you are seated there and you are very broke, I tell you, God's hand is not in it. So I know I'm broke. I know everything happened for a reason. There's a certain character that needs to be removed.
Yes,
And as long as you are not subjecting yourself to the discipline of God, you are making your time to be extended in the wilderness. You will be in this brokenness for a long, long time. If you observe, he said there's a rest prepared for the children of God. He said, but you have to be diligent to enter what? Into the rest. Other versions say you have to labor. And how do we labor? In the word and in doctrine. We saw how people labor in scriptures. The word and in prayer. Meaning we got to understand God's word. Are you listening to me? Like we're doing today. If we understand it and we pray according to this understanding, the Bible said then we enter into God's rest. And there's something the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this morning. He said people want to receive beat in the kingdom. They'll just carry a scripture and say, oh, I receive my healing. Hallelujah. I receive my healing. With a bad attitude. With a bad character. Listen, you don't receive in part in this kingdom. Soteria is a root word for salvation in Hebrew. Sozo is a root word for salvation in Greek. All of it means wholeness. You don't receive God in bit. You receive God as a whole. Now, if you receive Jesus Christ, you have received healing by default. If you receive Jesus Christ, you have received prosperity by default. The Bible says everything you ever need for life and godliness, it said you have received how? By receiving Jesus Christ. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? What happens is that when you receive this Jesus, what we do as preachers is that we now teach you one of the things you have received. Now you've received Jesus and probably you don't understand you ought to be healed. We are telling you that Jesus, receiving Jesus simply means you are healed. You are a new creation. The Bible said if you are in Christ, you are what? A new creation. Meaning if you are a new creation, there is nothing about the old creation in you. So when I tell you by his stripes we are made whole, that part, this part of Jesus you have received and gets activated. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? If I tell you that he became poor for you to be rich, this part of Jesus again on your inside gets activated. It's activated through what? Knowledge. That's why Peter said, by this understanding, the understanding of his great and precious promises, then we've escaped the corruption. As we teach you, you get to escape everything Satan is doing. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? As your understanding and what will the truth do? Make you free. And when you receive the truth, one of the algorithms in receiving the truth is that you ought to pray. If you truly have the truth, you pray. Via desire, a man first separates himself to first seek wisdom. And when he gets the wisdom, he intermediates with the wisdom he has sought. That way, you enter into your rest. That's the diligence there in that power of scripture. That's the only thing you ought to do. And Andrew Womack said he was telling the woman, God didn't give you sickness. God is not testing you with sickness. And when he told that woman that, it changed her life. After a few moments, she received a healing. And there's something he said that got me excited. He said, the woman now said one part of her body was not, she used to feel some burning sensation at her back. The one in at her front, the pain at her chest or something, was removed. Then Andromache said, but you did not tell me about that. Because he prayed for her, the pain left. He said, but you didn't tell me about that. He said, okay, this is what we will do. The one at your back, Nanda, you just told me about, I want you to pray, tell it to leave. She said, I should tell it to leave. He said, no. He said, yes. She said, Father, thank you because you have, by your stripes I'm healed. Thank you right now. I claim my healing. When she was done, she said, the pain was still there. And as I'm saying this, I know some of you pray like that. I claim my healing. I claim my healing. That's a wrong way of praying. What are you claiming? Something is paining you. See, I claim my healing. He said, if anyone speaks to this mountain, are you listening to me? With no fear in his heart. You got to speak to the mountain. Speak to it. He said, speak to the pain. She now laid her hands. She said, in the name of Jesus. True life story. He said, before she said pain, the pain left. The pain saw the pressure. The fire came coming. And she said, in the name of Jesus, as long as her hands were there, the pain left immediately. He said, he's still preaching and she's in the service right now as they're talking. You see that? Tell somebody you have to have this holy boldness. The Bible said God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above what? According to his word. Where is that power? He said in the book of Isaiah, he said, concerning the work of my hands, 45:11, he said, command me. Yeah. Concerning the works of my hand, what should you do? Command me. That's what he's saying. Not that you can command God. Say, God, move like this. Move like that. No, you cannot. But he has done everything. Just like electricity has been arranged for us this wonderful morning. But if we don't switch it on, will we get light? And how do you switch it on? By speaking God's word. Unto him that can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we have won. According to his power, where?
So the power is so much on your inside. And how do you release the power to walk? Where the word of a king is, there is power. When you release God's word, his power is seen. Are you listening to me? And as I'm speaking right now, if you could release God's word on that pain on your body, you start it small. You start it small till you get to the big state. You will never be able to raise the dead if you don't heal yourself of pain, from pains. If you don't start working on headaches yet, in the name of Jesus, headache, leave this body now. If you don't pray for cancer to leave, you will never raise the dead bring the dead back to life. It's not possible. Don't think that you've not done the small things, then you now come and do the big things. Even David in scripture. Remember David in scripture.
Yes, sir.
David did not all of a sudden come and stand before Goliath and say, blah, 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 blah. When he was explaining his CV to Saul, this is what he said. He said, I can kill Goliath. God, Saul now said, how? How? Where? How can you? Look at you, this thing. He says, sir, by these bears, I've killed bears and lions. He did not say bear and lion. He said bears and lions. While I was taking care of my father's assignment. And that's why I always tell cell leaders, you will do mighty things when you pay attention to taking care of what God has put in your hands. You see why David can keep bears and lions? It's because he made up his mind and said, Lord, I want to serve you properly. I want to do your work. The instruction you have given me, I want to do it. And because of the fire to do what God has said he should do, when opposition was coming, the ability to destabilize that opposition and finish it was ignited on his inside. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? In the name of Jesus, this cell will work. This cell will work. As you are saying, the cell will work. You will start trusting God for the ability to bring over 100, over 200. And when they start misbehaving, you start trusting God for the ability to regulate their misbehaviors. That way, you are registering your presence in the heaven that you are qualified to pastor a church of 2,000. Before you know, one day, the anointing will come upon you. I mean, it will be said in the heart of a pastor. And the pastor will look at this brother and say, you. Because you have been doing it in the secret. He said, you, the hand of God is upon you. Come. And he calls you into full-time ministry. Nobody may understand. But only God and you. Maybe the pastor is not even sure until you tell the pastor. Knows that you have been killing bears and lions in the secret place. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? The Bible says, he that seeth in the secret shall reward in the open. That way, David said to the king, I'd kill bears. I'd kill lions. And when he said so, the king said, are you sure? He said, yeah. He said, okay, go. Even though he doubted David's capacity, David did not look like it. But because David wanted to do his father's assignment very well, God now helped him. He grew. Where there's a will, there's a way. Tell somebody, I can do it. See, if you want to pastor a cell of 1,000, there's a certain attitude you got to have. David was a very responsible man. To a point where, while he was leaving the sheep, he told some people, he said, help me watch these sheep. There was chaos in the city. People were taking, Goliath was taking over everywhere. He did not say, sheep. No, he was under pressure. Yet he said, please help me to watch this sheep. He didn't leave it anyhow. He said, I'm coming. He went, killed Goliath, came back. Of course, they never allow him to come back to that level again. They increase his level. Are you seeing that? They increase it. He finally became the king of Israel. A shepherd boy. Now the king of Israel. What's the connection between that cell and the great ministry God has given you? A huge connection. I see myself traveling to the nations. And they give you a little cell. We cannot pastor it. The nations are far from you. You see that song you sing? Nations are worried. People are waiting. The master is in need. If you are not faithful to your work, he's not in need of you. It's not the type of you. Are you listening to me? You can't clean church. You complain about every activity in church. No. When last did you attend your rehearsal? When last did you attend your own function in church? Whatever you are doing for God, when last did you come there and do it well? You always have excuse. You always have excuse. Why were you not in the rehearsal? My this, my that. Now, you are the first person that have a child now, or children. My children were shouting, hey. I could not leave them and come. I always tell some of you, and I always tell people, see, that you have children does not mean your ministry have ended.
Yes, sir.
I always tell my wife too. Me, I always tell myself, Shekinah cannot end my ministry. I lock myself. And even if I have bad daddy, I'm not opening. I'm going somewhere. Uh-huh. The time that is remaining, I will open and play with her. But the time I'm supposed to walk and write books, I lock myself. Even from my wife, I lock myself. And I write. Yes, she's just realizing probably. Amen?
Right.
Why?
Now, that doesn't mean we don't have time, we joke. But we can't joke and play 24 hours. Are you all listening to me? You must understand these things. Marriage is not supposed to end whatever you have started with God. No, it's not supposed to. That's why you need wisdom in marriage. Some of you who are young couples, go and meet young women in marriage. Go and meet older women and ask them, how do you manage your time? Because I still observe you are the chairman of Zumuntamata. You know what they call Zumuntamata? Say, mommy, how were you Zumuntamata chairwoman and you still had time to cook for us? You ask such delicate questions. When they finish teaching you, you see that 10 hours is still remaining. Say, eh? So somebody can have this kind of time. And as I'm talking like this, young man will say, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand. It's not easy. Nobody is saying it's easy. And young women, do you people realize that it's still not easy for men too? Huh? It's not easy. So the man will just sit in the house and jump. You want to be a man? How many of you women want to be men here so that you will not walk? Say amen. Let God switch it for you. So that when they bill you, when everything in this world, you know, I was online one time, a lady woke up, she said, my fan is not earning today, men cause it. Men are the reason why this fan is not earning. I said, now, wow. She was just trying to joke. Now there should be a balance. Men should love their women. I always do this in the second service. I don't know why I'm touching this in the first service. But women should understand that it's not easy on both sides. Are you together? I'm trying to explain to you. Very important. We respect each other. Are you listening to me? There's a joke I wrote before I finished this service today. I said to myself, I said, you see, in Christ you are qualified. Right? Your qualification is in Christ. Then I now said, just like in Nigeria, you are qualified to do anything as long as you are a Fulani person. It's a joke. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yes. As long as you are Fulani, you can shoot. You can have AK-47. Do you know in this country, there are some people that are licensed to have AK-47. They are Fulani. And we've been saying it. The government is doing like he's not hearing us. Like he's deaf. These people have AK-47. They've not arrested them. You know, I was watching something yesterday before we closed. There's a man called Gumi, a Satanist called Gumi, who claims to be a cleric man. He was granted an interview and he said, you see, the federal government through the military is bumping us. That is why we are angry. I said, who is us? He coincidentally called us terrorists. He put himself inside the terrorists. He said, us. I said, are they seeing that this thing is not a mistake? They may think it's a mistake. It's not a mistake. The only person that have access to these guys is Gumi. Gumi goes to sit down and he does, you know, they do deal. He tell them, be in peace. Gumi is the king of terrorists. Terrorists adore Gumi. Why not arrest Gumi? Not so long, I think last month, Gumi was seated with the federal government. He was seated with the son of He was seated with the son of the president. Two terrorists. And you see, you are wondering, I want this to get to the internet. See, we will disturb them, eh? If they want to kill us, they should come and kill us very fast. If they can. It's terrible. Today, we are hearing that they've sentenced this man, Nnamdi Kanu, to life imprisonment. When there is Gumi. Abi Gumi. A terrorist of terrorists. Somebody say fire.
Fire.
I heard somebody saying something, a prophet, and I agree with it because I sensed it in my spirit. God will disgrace them. You see, one thing is certain about Nigeria. Nigeria can never become an Islamic nation. Nigeria, listen, it's not like I'm saying it out of faith, blah, blah, blah. Mm-mm. It's a reality in the realm of the spirit. Nigeria can never become an Islamic nation. In fact, within them, they are getting frustrated already. It can never become an Islamic nation. It doesn't matter whether they have Muslim ticket. It doesn't matter whether some people are preparing for their next campaign so they don't want to say the truth. We will never become an Islamic nation. And God will frustrate them. He will frustrate them very fast and swiftly. And Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So rejoice. The only pain is that we are losing a lot of people. We just lost 315 in St. Mary's Secondary School in Niger State. After losing over 25 in Kirby, children. It has gotten to a point that we are losing children. Right now, we are not even sure that any of our children, our child should go to a boarding school. Many parents have withdrawn their children from boarding school. Now we don't even trust what is happening in the country again. Trump called us recently, which is a very beautiful description. He said, we're a disgraced nation. Very, very true. We are not, too, like Paul Nature said, it is the people up there, the leaders, the disgrace is on you and your family and your children's children. It's not on us. You people are the disgraced people who will see white and call it black and black and call it white. It's a disgrace to you, your children, and every child you ever have in your generation. It's not us. We have sound and intelligent people in Nigeria who are limited by these people who don't know where they are going to. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I'm saying as a prophet to all of you, when you see truth, stand with truth. If you don't stand with truth, you are part of the problem of Nigeria. I used to know somebody, I don't want to mention the name, but I commented on a video recently publicly, and I know I do it. I'm not looking for a platform. I don't need your platform to become relevant. I told him recently, he was trying to explain a video that says a certain apostle that said, because they are friends, and I used to know him in Kaduna, we grew up together, Trump is coming for us because we are doing something right. What are we doing right that Trump is coming for us? Please tell me one thing Nigeria is doing. I want you to tell me just one. One thing this country is doing right, and I'll quit being a pastor. One thing. Think. I give you 2 minutes to think. What is the thing that Nigeria is doing right? There are some statements that you calculate. I understand that's a mistake. I'm not against him. That's a mistake. It's more like being excited at the moment and you spoke beyond stupor. Hey, you're not supposed to talk like that. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And another video came saying that he was in the north. I told that apostle that posted it. I said, see, if you truly saw crisis in the north, you would not talk like that. Because even though you saw, people are seeing even worse right now. Now, Trump coming, like it was said in the book of Mordecai said about Esther. Can you remember about scripture? What part of the Bible is that? In the book of what? Esther. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, Esther, if you don't speak for us, he said, God will raise help from outside. What we are seeing is prophetic. There are certain people that are not speaking for us. Do you know currently the pastor called Reverend Ezekiel, the social media he has, all of the handles, they've deleted it. I told you, Mark Zuckerberg is part of the problem of the world. It's not a joke. He is. Because I wonder, if you are a human being and you are seeing what is happening in the world, why will you allow somebody's account to be deleted? On what grounds? That he's a threat to national security. How? And Gumi's page has not been deleted. That devil in human body. And we say we are in a country. Which kind of country is this one? I told my wife, if God did not tell me to preach in Nigeria, I'm not telling people a lie. This is my one heart desire and truth. I will never be in this country. I will not be in this country. It's a shame and a disgrace that bandits are moving freely. I watched an interview recently. A bandit leader, he wore the uniform of a police officer he killed. I don't know if some of you saw that video. He wore it and he came for a peace deal. Peace deal. The name of the police officer was dead, Aliu something. He came and he ordered the police officers that were coming not to wear uniform. He wore uniform. He came because it's his father that started Nigeria. And we're in a country. We call it a country. What a shame. In fact, if there's another word Trump can use, let him use it's not just disgrace. It is disgrace times raised to the power of 1 billion. It's so shameful that Reverend Ezekiel right now cannot talk again. They've deleted all of his social media. Mark Zuckerberg is part of the problem of the world. And you think these people love you? You think so? That's why some of you are into tech. Your fire should rise. Yes,
trust God to do better things, because it is human beings at the end that will determine anything, not the app. It's light and darkness. If you are not for me, the Bible said you are against me. And you know, the problem before I end is that you did not talk about for the apostle or something. You didn't talk about the genocide happening. Immediately you heard that Trump spoke, you now started saying that their claim is not innocent. All this while you did not say they are killing Christians. But now that Trump spoke, you said their claim is... That's funny. That's not the will of God. I don't want to use wrong word because he's a fellow pastor. And I'm not insulting, but I'm just bringing perspective. Are we together?
Yes,
are you all here tonight?
Yes,
wake up. Wake up. Some of you seeing wrong things. You have to threaten this. But tell them that we are the ones that vote. I mean, in Nigeria now, it's like they know that we are not. It's not our vote that counts. If you stand with the people, you win election. Not with the president. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's so shocking. And we pray for those people, the 315, because they lied, it was 100. While I was watching the news, the bishop of that diocese, a Catholic bishop, he came out, he said it's not 100, oh, it is 315 plus 12 teachers. And I sat, I was standing with a friend. I said, how did 315 people enter bush and we don't know where they are? 315 people are walking in a bush. We don't know what technology have grown beyond that foolishness. If 350 people are moving in a bush like this, we are supposed to know where they are. Technology, I'm a computer scientist. I know what I'm saying. You can just, there's a certain camera. I know a friend, I don't want to call his name because he's into security somehow. You put that camera up with a on a long pole, it will show everything happening in that place. The distance. Wherever they are. And like I said, if anybody be in Christ, it's a new creation. If you are in Christ, you are accepted. If you are a full animal, you are free. If you are a full animal, you can do anything you want to do. It's time to wake up. There's so much disgrace. And it's time to pray for our country. I think last week they killed a brigadier general. You know what it means for you to be a brigadier general? You have fought several wars. You carry soldier, fought several wars. And they found you qualified for that rank. You have served the country with your life at stake. Then see how they killed you. They just bullet you on your head. I was telling my friend who is in the military. I said, those days were going in the barrack. This kind of thing, now everywhere will be on the on fire. No soldier can take this kind of thing. Do you know one of the reasons why Israel are suffering Gaza today? I think they killed one of their military person like that. One of their wars was determined because of a killing like that. A general. Not just that, a priest, a Catholic priest, we may not be from the same denomination. In Kaduna recently, a Catholic priest was blindfolded and shot to death. A young Catholic priest. It has become almost like a norm. Yet they are still doing campaign. As we are talking right now in this town, in this Benue state, they killed people yesterday, I'm very sure. They killed them before yesterday, I'm very, very sure. It's almost like every day. One time I saw a young pastor they killed in one of these Idoma local government that he was just farming. Federal government did not do anything for you. You are going to make sure your family and you survive. And they killed you in the process. They should be ready to delete every social media platform of pastors. Because as long as now that they've deleted this Datchomos, they've risen, Datchomos that will rise will be more. Hallelujah to Jesus. Pray for the country and stand in truth. Stand in truth. Stand in truth. Stand with the truth. Are you all listening to me? Beyond tribe, ethnicity, stand with the truth. Listen to me. Oh, listen to me very attentively. I am not praying that one day a foolish thief man should be president. Because I'm thief or Idoma. A foolish Idoma person should be president. I will not vote for a foolish thief or Idoma president or Igede president. Because I come from the same state. No! We must go beyond that foolishness. If it's an evil man that can rule this country, let them rule the country. Whoever has the potency, let him rule. Don't be foolish. Some of you sit and say, it's not good to give evil man. Do you know the evil man? For anybody that talks like that, he didn't go to school. You can't use one person or two people or 20 people to color a particular tribe. No! I've met beautiful Igbo people in my life. One of our pastors in church, two of our pastors in church, I didn't know Igbos. There's a particular parent that were having problem with one of our pastors getting married to them. Say the tribe did this, blah, blah, blah.
And I said, I have seen people from that same tribe had bad homes. We have seen Tiv have bad homes. We have seen Idoma have bad homes. What is it about tribe? Are you all listening to me tonight? The only tribe you should not marry from is Boko Haram. Are you here tonight? Have you understood something tonight? So it's receiving time. Tell somebody, start receiving. Refuse to be sick. Refuse to be sick. Refuse it from the depth of your heart. And one last thing before we go is that I said to myself, one way we receive is by trusting the Holy Spirit for ideas. You see, God has given us everything. Do you know God will not create more cows in this world? He will not create more goats. He will not create more lions. He created one. There are plenty in this world. We will never run out of cows and lions and etc. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Even if we don't have Fulanis, we will never run out of it. They will keep on existing. What we need to create now is capacity to receive. God will give you ideas. That's what I'm saying this wonderful morning. Ideas that will cause you to enter into the plenty He has prepared for you. Into the rest He has already prepared for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bow your heads and pray. Give God praise. Worship Him, worship Him, worship Him. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fill this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserves our praise. You are the name above all names. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We give you all the praise. We give you all the worship. As we've heard, your word is a light for our path and a lamp for our feet in the name of Jesus. Carve upon our heart this truth that makes us free according to your word. We'll see a new shift in our life because of your word. What we couldn't do before, Lord, we are capacitated to start doing it because of your word in us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The weak in our midst, they are saying we are strong. The poor are shouting we are rich. In the name of Jesus. We are realizing capacity today to do all things through Christ, who has strengthened us tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healings. We receive healing tonight. We receive healing tonight. Thank you, Lord, for breakthroughs. We receive breakthroughs tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for provision. We receive provision tonight. Where there are needs, we receive provision tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, for some of us standing in place of our family members, our fathers, our mothers, for a particular healing and breakthrough, Lord, we receive it for them today. In the name of Jesus, you will touch them. You will touch them. You will touch them. You will touch them. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Say, I'm blessed. In the name of Jesus. Shout, I'm blessed. In the name of Jesus. Say, I'm perfected in the beloved. I'm accepted in the beloved. Say, in Christ, I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, physical blessings in the heavenly places. In Jesus' name, say, in Christ, I have all my needs met. Say, in Christ, I've entered into my rest. Say, in Christ, I will never lack. Say, in Christ, I reign and I live above sickness. I reign and live above sin. I reign and I live above lack. Say, in Christ, I stand strong. Never can be defeated. In the name of Jesus. Say, in Christ, I have clarity. In Christ, I'm fortified with wisdom. In Christ, I do the impossible.
like it's my way of life. Saying, Christ, I am very strong. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit for a moment. Pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, we rise and we live and go beyond limits. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, we rise beyond limits. Lord, if I'd been lukewarm before to stay in a low place of life, I rise in Christ today. I rise in Christ today. I rise in Christ today. I am not going to live an ordinary life again. I rise in Christ. An ordinary life of sin, of fear, and sickness. I rise in Christ today. I rise in Christ today. Go ahead and pray. I rise in Christ. I live beyond any limit in Christ. Go ahead and pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we worship and pray.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.